So we are in our last Sunday of our series, Faith Renewed. And so we have been talking about what does it look like to have our faith renewed? What does it look like for us to have our trust in God, our trust in His Word, our trust in each other renewed and restored? And what does it look like if we're willing to trust God wholeheartedly and willing to do hard things and willing to step out in faith and say, God, I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I know the one that holds my future. I know that you are the one that I trust. You are the one that I seek. And so what does it look like for us to be willing to do difficult things as we have our faith in God renewed? This morning, we're going to be talking about faith renewed obedience. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn to Acts chapter 10. We're going to be in Acts chapter 10. We're also going to be in the book of John as well. So if you, as you're turning there, invite you to join me in a word of prayer this morning. God, we are grateful for you, grateful for your presence in our lives, grateful for how you move in might, how you move in your spirit, and how you speak to each and every one of us. So, Father, this morning as I share, may the words I say be words that come from you and not from me. And may our lives be changed and transformed this morning through the power of the Holy Spirit and through the truth of the Scriptures. In Jesus' name, amen. So, as we were kind of talking about this sermon series and what this series Faith Renewed was going to look like back a few months ago, there were a couple things trying to figure out what exactly, one, what do we call the series? And so understanding kind of what was going on, but also looking at this morning, what to call the message this morning. We settled on faith renewed obedience, but really it started off with, okay, what are we trying to say this morning? What is the purpose of this morning's message? It's really everything that we have talked about over the last 6 weeks leads to this, to listening and following the Holy Spirit. And are we willing to be obedient to the Holy Spirit, to the guiding of the Holy Spirit in everything that we do? And so looked at different things to call this morning, thinking about following the Holy Spirit. I was like, I mean, that's what we're doing, like it makes sense. Looking at hearing the Holy Spirit, listening to the Holy Spirit, being in tune with the Holy Spirit. But as I continued to pray and just seek God, it came down to one word, obedience. Because, see, we can do all those things, but if we're not willing to be obedient, it doesn't matter what the Holy Spirit is telling us. If we're not willing to listen and do what the Spirit is telling us. Because the Holy Spirit's speaking to us always. The Spirit speaks to us through each other. The Spirit speaks to us through God's Word. The Holy Spirit is speaking to us. But the question is, are we willing to listen and do what the Spirit is calling us to do? So for the next 2 to 3 hours, we're going to talk about... So I make that joke. I have to tell y'all something. It's humorous to me. It may not be to y'all. So I grew up Pentecostal, and my church, we had an 8 a.m. service and an 11 a.m. service. The 8 a.m. service was 2 hours long, 2 to 2.5 hours long, and it had to be over because we have an 11 a.m. service. So they had to end at least by 10:30 at the latest. If you went to the 11 a.m. service, you never knew when the service was going to end. There was one Sunday that we were in church for over 3 hours. That was real long. I was a kid. I got hungry. I mean, we started at 11. I think we left sometime after 2, maybe closer to 3 o'clock. I was like, I'm not sure I can be here this long again. And we weren't there that long ever again. But, sometimes church can go on and on and on. I'm like, let's hand out snacks then or something. snacks and drinks or something that we're giving to people. No, but talking about the Holy Spirit, being obedient to the Holy Spirit, really that's more than what we have time for this morning. And so I'm going to do my best this morning to try to bring it down and concise it down to a small chunk, but really we could be talking about this for the next 10 weeks and looking at what does it look like for us to listen to the Holy Spirit, to be in tune to the Holy Spirit, to be obedient to the Holy Spirit. Now, it is Pentecost Sunday, and so I think it's important that as we start this and talk about this, we understand the importance of the Holy Spirit and what is the Holy Spirit. First, the Holy Spirit is part of the Godhead. And so we believe that God exists as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It's three persons in one. And so that is core to our beliefs. So the Holy Spirit has existed then since before time began, along with the Father and the Son. But one of the things that we see throughout the Gospels is Jesus talks about the Holy Spirit quite frequently. In John chapter 14, starting in verse 25, Jesus says, "These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you." Next chapter over in John chapter 15, starting in verse 26. "But when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me. And you also will bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning." John chapter 16, starting in verse 7. "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father, and you will see me no longer. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you." So that is the promise of the Holy Spirit from Jesus Christ. But we have to go back to the Old Testament to understand that the promise of the Holy Spirit that Jesus declared and told the disciples then is different than the experience of the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament. And so we look at Numbers chapter 11, starting in verse 24. "So Moses went out and told the people the words of the Lord, and he gathered 70 men of the elders of the people and placed them around the tent. Then the Lord came down in the cloud and spoke to him and took some of the spirit that was on him and put it on the 70 elders. And as soon as the spirit rested on them, they prophesied, but they did not continue doing it." Judges chapter 14, start in verse 6. "Then the Spirit of the Lord rushed upon him, and although he had nothing in his hand, he tore the lion in pieces as one tears a young goat, but he did not tell his father or his mother what he had done." 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse 6. "Then the Spirit of the Lord will rush upon you, and you will prophesy with them and be turned into another man." So see, in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit would come upon people, would rush on people, but then would leave. The Spirit didn't stay around. The Holy Spirit would come upon someone, then would leave. We read that throughout the Old Testament. If you look through the Bible, you see that over and over, it talks about the Spirit coming upon someone and the Spirit leaving someone. And so what Jesus talked about with this Holy Spirit coming was something different and radical that those that were listening were trying to figure out, what is this new teaching that this Jesus guy keeps talking about? I mean, the Spirit's been around, but never like this. And so when we go to the day of Pentecost and understand and look at what Carolyn read for us this morning, we understand why they decided it was important to wait in the upper room. Jesus told them to wait for the promise of the Spirit. So they understood why it was important to wait in the upper room. Because while they were there, they were filled with the Holy Spirit as tongues of fire appeared and rested on each of them, and they began to speak in tongues. See, so today in 2026, we're not worried about, are we doing the right things for the Spirit to come upon us and worried that the Spirit is going to leave us. If we have said yes to Jesus, have accepted the gift of salvation that comes through Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit is in us. The Holy Spirit is with us and guides us and leads us throughout our life. And so we get the promise of the Holy Spirit that Jesus made. The promise gift of the Holy Spirit is with us today. And so we can smile, we can celebrate because we know the Spirit is with us, guiding us and leading us. The question is, are we willing to listen to the guiding of the Holy Spirit? Are we willing to say yes to the guiding of the Holy Spirit, even when sometimes it doesn't make sense? Can we still say yes to the Holy Spirit's guidance? So in Acts chapter 10, we're going to be reading there starting in verse 9. The next day, as they were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up on the housetop about the sixth hour to pray, and he became hungry and wanted something to eat. But while they were preparing, he fell into a trance and saw the heavens opened and something like a great sheet descending, being let down by its four corners upon the earth. In it were all kinds of animals and reptiles and birds of the air. And there came a voice to him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said, "By no means, Lord, for I've never eaten anything that is common or unclean." And the voice came to him again a second time, "What God has made clean, do not call common." This happened three times, and the thing was taken up at once to heaven. Now, while Peter was inwardly perplexed as to what the vision that he had seen might mean, behold, the men who were sent by Cornelius, having made inquiry for Simon's house, stood at the gate and called out to ask whether Simon, who was called Peter, was lodging there. And while Peter was pondering the vision, the Spirit said to him, "Behold, three men are looking for you. Rise and go down and accompany them without hesitation, for I have sent them." See, this is an important scripture and kind of a great one in the life of the early church, because Jesus was Jewish, who came to Jewish people, raised in a Jewish household, in a Jewish faith. He was part of the tabernacle. And so the coming Messiah was a Jew for Jews. But see, God said, "No, I'm going to be for all people. Jesus is to be for all people, not just the Jewish people, but Jesus came for all people." So when Simon Peter received this vision of things that were considered unclean, because the book of Leviticus tells them the things that were clean and unclean, one of them being Gentiles, and the things that they could and couldn't eat. When he sees this vision, he's like, "No, I'm a good Jew. I have been raised a Jew. I have been a Jew my whole life. I know the scrolls. I abide by the law. I'm never going to do that. I don't take things that are unclean. But what does Jesus, what does God say? He says, do not call unclean what God has called clean. So the rules and the laws that they were trying to follow, God was flipping those upside on their head, transforming and changing their perspective on things. See, Peter was able to hear that, but even after the vision, it says that he was perplexed. He was confused. He was trying to figure out what was going on, trying to understand what was happening. But even in the perplexity, he started to understand when these Gentiles came to him wanting them to go to the house of a Gentile. Had it not been for that vision, Peter's answer would have been no. How dare you ask me that? You're unclean. No. And even in that moment, Peter had a choice to make. Was he going to listen and follow the word of the Holy Spirit? Or was he going to do the thing that he had known his whole life, that he thought was the right thing to do? And so thankfully for all of us, Peter chose to be obedient to the Holy Spirit, to listen to the Holy Spirit, and to go with Cornelius, to go and do something that everyone around him told him was not okay. But he understood that the Holy Spirit was guiding and leading him, and it was important for him to listen. So I've shared bits and pieces of my story, of our story, of how we ended up here at Riverstone Church in Farmington, New Mexico. The story starts a long time ago, but I'm going to jump ahead to when Ginger and I were in seminary at Asbury Seminary. We were living in Wilmore, Kentucky. We had graduated from seminary. We were part of a church there in town. And they were planning a new campus, and so we were going to be involved in that campus. Started looking at housing near that new campus, and I'd started the process of being ordained through the church. And so they asked me to fill out the questionnaire, and then I would meet with the board of elders after and talk through all of my questions. Well, one of the questions on there said something to the effect of, have you had an experience with the Holy Spirit? I was like, well, I mean, I grew up Pentecostal, yes. And then the other side, I'm like, well, everyone should have had an experience of the Holy Spirit. Like, if you call yourself a follower of Christ, then yes. The answer is yes, and I put yes. Well, specifically, they were trying to figure out if I spoke in tongues, which I do, and they were trying to figure out if it was okay or not for me to be ordained. So I then receive a phone call from the head of the elder board, and we're going over my ordination questions, and we get to that question there, and he says, so we're part of the Disciples of Christ, and there's two different streams. There's a charismatic stream and a non-charismatic stream of the Disciples of Christ. Well, we're part of the non-charismatic stream, and so because of your answer to this question, you are not allowed to be ordained here, nor would you ever be able to serve on staff here. So the plan that we had was we were going to live in Lexington, Kentucky, and be there and raise our family there in Lexington, Kentucky. So then that happens, and we're both like, now what? I mean, our plan just went poof. It was gone. And so then we're seeking God, and we're like, God, so we don't have a backup plan. What are we supposed to be doing right now? Well, that was a time that we had to live out on faith and had to start seeking God and asking God, we need you to guide us and direct us. So from that moment, the Holy Spirit was guiding and directing our lives, guided us to go to Lubbock, Texas, which is where Ginger's from. But I have to be honest, when we first met, she told me she was from Lubbock. And I was like, where's that? She said, you know, Texas Tech? No. Buddy Holly? No. I know who Buddy Holly is now, but at that time, I didn't know Texas Tech or Buddy Holly. Bobby Knight? Oh, yeah, I know who Bobby Knight is. And so, like, I didn't have any reference for this place that we were moving to and didn't know that we would go there and be there for 14 years. And also, when Ginger and I moved to the house that we were in the last 5.5 years and said, this is it, we're not moving again, we'd both decided we were done moving, like, this is the place we're going to be, and God laughed and said, you don't know it now, but you're going to end up at this church in this place called Farmington, New Mexico. 5.5 years ago, I'd never heard of Farmington, New Mexico. But 3 years ago, now, we actually visited good friends of ours that live in Cortez, Colorado, and drove from Lubbock to Cortez over spring break to spend the week with them and drove through Farmington, New Mexico. So that was our first experience of Farmington, not knowing what God was going to do. But this whole journey getting to here to today, and we're 5 months in, we've been here, or just about 5 months now, has been listening to the Holy Spirit and being obedient to the Holy Spirit even when it was hard. I'm not sure I've told everyone this, but it was not easy for us to get here. Like, everything that was supposed to have worked out and getting our house sold quickly and finding a house here, none of that stuff happened very easily. And so we were 2 weeks or so before coming here and had nowhere to live, but we knew we were coming. We're like, all right, God, well, we know that on January 2nd, we're hopping in our car and going to Farmington. We need a place to live. God showed up. We were willing to be obedient and willing to be faithful, and God showed up. Galatians chapter 5, starting verse 16, says, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. For if we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another." If we want to know if we're truly being obedient to the Holy Spirit, we've got to look inwardly at our lives. We have to look at those fruits of the Spirit and do our lives reflect the fruits of the Holy Spirit? If they don't, then we need to ask God to change our hearts so that we reflect the fruits of the Holy Spirit. The same can be said for us here as Riverstone Church. Do we as a church reflect the fruits of the Holy Spirit? Would people say that about us? Would we say that about ourselves? That the fruits of the Holy Spirit that are listed in the Scripture, that we reflect those fruits as a church body? If not, we need to be seeking God and saying, God, how do we more reflect your Spirit to this community? How do we look more like what you're calling us to be? So as I mentioned earlier, we're finishing up our series on Faith Renewed. It's our seventh and final week. In week one, I talked about Faith Renewed prayer. Looked at Isaiah chapter 56 and Matthew chapter 21. And we see that God's house is to be called a house of prayer for all people. And so we looked at what does it mean for us to be a house of prayer for all people. Week two, we talked about faith renewed multiplication. Looked at Matthew chapter 28 and Acts 13 and 15. We acknowledge we're called to multiplication because of the Great Commission. The Great Commission tells us to go out into the entire world so that all people may know about Jesus Christ. And so the call to multiplication, the call is part of the Great Commission. And we're called to be a church that plants other churches. Week three, we talked about faith renewed welcoming. We were in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And we talked about what does it mean for us to be a place that all people feel welcome. What does it mean to be a place that all people are able to come in, regardless of how much money they have, of how they're dressed, how they look, that they're welcome here? That we're a place that all people can come and learn about Jesus. Week four, we talked about faith renewed growth. Looked in Ephesians chapter 4. It talked about growth is not just numbers and how many people are sitting in the pews, but growth happens internally within us. As we grow in our relationship with Jesus Christ, as we grow in community, grow in our faith. It's so important for us to know Jesus Christ more and more each and every day. Week five, we talked about faith renewed love. Looked at 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and talked about what does it mean to be a loving people, a people that love others, a people that are able to understand that the love we receive from God, the agape love that comes from the Father, we're to share that and spread that with everyone we meet. And so how can we be a loving people? Last week we talked about faith renewed community. As we looked at Revelation 7 and Ephesians 4, in Revelation it says that all tongues and tribes and peoples and nations were before the throne of God worshiping together. And so what does it look like for us to reflect the community that we serve, that all people, regardless of race, regardless of creed, regardless of their color of their skin, regardless how much money they have in the bank account, regardless of what clothes they have on their back, regardless of what's going on, if they smell, that they're welcome here, because we understand that every person is made in the image of God and all people need Jesus. We are all fallen, broken, sinful people in need of a Savior. And so what does it mean for us to be that kind of church? for us to be that kind of people. So the question for us this morning, for each of us, is, are we being obedient? Are we following the direction of the Holy Spirit? I'm going to need some help from somebody to help put that paper back up. But we're going to play a song. There's a piece of paper there and a piece of paper there and some Sharpies. And I encourage you, as this song plays, answer one or both of these questions for me. One, how are you listening to the Holy Spirit? And the second question is, how can we as a church listen to the Holy Spirit? So I invite you now as the song plays, answer those questions. Just realize that we're in this together. So the things that we do are things for us all to work on together as a body of Christ. So I feel like I need to give you a little bit more of the story of what happened in Kentucky. See, that same head elder who told me that no, I wasn't able to be ordained there or part of the church there in leadership, a few years later sent me a message on social media and said, "We missed the boat. I'm so happy to see how God has been using you over these years. It was our loss, but it was the kingdom's gain." And so being obedient to the Holy Spirit doesn't always look like we think it should. Sometimes it looks messy. Sometimes it looks scary. But as you leave and go out this morning, will you let fear control your life? Or will you let your life be guided and led by the power of the Holy Spirit? My hope and prayer for you this morning is that you live lives that are fully guided by the Holy Spirit and we don't let fear take over. So go this morning in the power of the Holy Spirit. As you go out into the midst of the world, sharing the love, the salvation, the freedom that comes from Jesus Christ. Go in peace.